Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Jeff, and welcome back to another episode of Lean In with Jeff. Today's weather is absolutely beautiful. There's a lot of sun, a lot of warmth. So please go outside, everyone, and enjoy the sunlight. I hope everyone's second week of school is going well. I hope the courses that you guys chose are all fun and interesting, although they can be quite difficult. But what kind of course is not? All right, so for today's episode, I am doing an interview with a band. So please stay tuned and we will get into some great details with another amazing band. After we do the interview with the band, I will turn a couple songs on if we have the time and end our episode from there. So before we get started, let's get into some ads and some PSAs. And we will begin our show. So here we go, and I'll see you guys soon.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. Nisiam, Nisiaya, Thinkum Queen Ansep, Hydra Siam, Nisiam, Nisiaya, Anthasiakuya,
Talitin, Homasqueam, Mustayo. Hey Vancouver! For fans of Ocean Alley, Flip Turn, and Still Woozy, alt rockers Juice are bringing their signature blend of rock, pop, R&B, and hip-hop to the Biltmore Cabaret on February 3rd, with support from Hembry. Tickets are on sale now. Get yours at admitone.com.
MRG Live is pleased to present the legendary DJ Shadow live at the Vogue Theater on January 23rd. Don't miss your chance to catch this pioneering producer performing music from his latest release, Action Adventure, alongside his rich three-decade-long catalog, which includes collaborations with artists such as Run the Jewels, Nas, and De La Soul, among others. For tickets, head to admitone.com and search for DJ Shadow.
Hey Vancouver! For fans of Ocean Alley, Flip Turn, and Still Woozy, alt rockers Juice are bringing their signature blend of rock, pop, R&B, and hip hop to the Biltmore Cabaret on February 3rd, with support from Hembry. Tickets are on sale now. Get yours at admitone.com.
On January 17th, CITR 101.9 FM presents our annual 24 Hours of Radio Art programming, featuring innovative approaches to music and sound. It's 24 hours of spoken word, ambient, drone, field recordings and sound walks, collage, technical support calls, voicemail fails, sound art, and noise! Listen live on CITR 101.9 FM or online at CITR.ca.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Jeff, and welcome back to another episode of Lean In with Jeff. As I mentioned, today I am doing an interview with a band. So if you can hear me, would you like to introduce yourselves?
Hi, Jeff. Yes, this is Pat
and Ray
from The Incurables. We are one half of The Incurables, at least, able to join you here today, and happy to be here.
Awesome. Thank you guys for coming on. I hope you guys are having a great day so far. Do you guys just want to give me a quick update on the audience members of where you guys are at right now?
Absolutely. We're coming to you out of the Detroit, Michigan area, where it's about a balmy negative 10 Celsius.
Wow, that is cold. Has it snowed there yet?
It has. We've actually, knock wood, had a pretty mild winter starting up, but we got hit just the last couple of days with maybe about 6 inches out there. And then very quickly, we had some big winds come in and temperatures dropped crazy. So it's nice and not really snowman weather, nice and crunchy out there right now.
Wow, that sounds really, really cold. Here in Vancouver, there has been a little bit of snow, but I don't think it's been that crazy. So I just want to ask for the first question, how are you guys doing so far? The new year has begun. Are there any plans for this year or anything that you guys are scheduled into?
Oh, yeah, it's been fantastic. We've got some new singles coming out. We've got a new album that comes out this coming Friday,
yep.
On January 19th, a new album for us, 10 tracks on it. The album's called Inside Out and Backwards. So we're kind of hitting the ground running this year. And we've got a lot of shows coming up, traveling around as much as we can. Shows scheduled in South Carolina, Indiana, Chicago, England, and then locally here in Detroit as well.
That sounds very exciting. Are you guys originally from the States or are you guys from Vancouver?
No, we're from the U.S. here in this Detroit area. Pretty much all of us have grown up, or not really grown up, but grown old here for quite some time.
I see. And I also want to ask, you guys have a pretty unique band name. I just want to ask, how did you guys end up with The Incurables? Was there a funny story behind it? How did you guys ended up with this conclusion?
Well, years ago, when we, many, many years ago, one of our big influences in the Detroit area were a band called The Romantics. And, and Pat always liked, The Incurable Romantics. So we, we said, The Incurables, that sounds good. And then Pat actually looked it up in the dictionary, and it, he says, Incurables, see hopeless. So we figured, that's us. It defines us right there.
Oh, I see. Yeah, no, I mean, I read this title that you guys have, the band name, and it just seemed pretty unique. I feel like curables is something that a lot of people go for because it's, it's kind of has like this positive connotation, but incurables is quite a special name.
Especially we probably get excluded from some of the benefits that are available to play.
Yeah, and like you mentioned, Inside Out and Backwards is the new album that's going to be coming out. How long did it take you guys to complete this album?
Longer than some of the past ones. Not because it was a challenge by any means, but we kind of just took our time. We had released, as we recorded it, we were doing some other things. We released a live album. We released some singles off of this, as well as a list of a small EP of cover tunes that we had done. So different things. So this album consisted of songs that had been around with us for quite a while that were not quite polished or finished, that we pulled back out and decided to see what we could do with them, as well as a lot of new stuff. So in general, I would say, this song definitely took a good year to record and get all the pieces together. And then now we're actually working with Big Stir Records out of California. And, there's a lot involved when doing that and getting all of the artwork and the proper pressing and having things, all the, I's and T's and all that stuff that in place. So that took some time to just get it out to people to where we could finally just share it with the world.
Yeah, we've been doing this a long time, but we definitely learned a lot doing this new album. A lot of stuff that, we were, we didn't know we had to do this and this and this. So it's like, it was a learning process for us. And I think the next one shouldn't take as long.
And as far as in the studio, we've always tried or just wanted to keep that raw sound that we have on stage live. So we don't like to get too crazy, but I would say that with this album, we definitely layered it a little bit more. You know, Ray breaks out the xylophone and I throw a few piano notes in there and some different things that we typically aren't taking with us on stage.
That sounds very interesting. Before we get into the 2023 year, because I'm sure you guys have a lot of stories behind that, I also want to ask, could you guys give me and the audience a rundown of how your band formed? Maybe just each of you guys, who plays which instrument, the vocal and all that. Just a quick rundown of that.
Well, this is Ray. I play bass and vocals.
And this is Pat. I am the lead guitarist, also vocals. Ray and I do, I would say, Ray primarily does the writing, and I try to counter-write against him. And then the guys that are out attending mortal jobs today, it would be Darren is our drummer, and then Dennis is our rhythm guitarist. So as far as the beginnings of it all, it's been a long run. A long, good run. Ray and I have known each other since we were 5 years old. We met in wow. kindergarten, eating paste together. And
occasionally
when it comes to us. Yeah. It's just from the same areas, all of us, growing up, same types of backgrounds, music in the area, not just local musicians, but probably raised on, you know, a lot of bands out of the 60s, either with older siblings or family members that we had. And some of the, you know, initially was like, you know, the Beatles and the Who and the Kinks, and then probably getting more into some of the obscure, potentially beginnings of punk bands in the 60s. And then fighting our way through some of the music of the 70s. And then towards the end of it, probably picking it back up with groups that were starting to form, like the Ramones and the Clash. So that's Ray and I. We've been playing actually together since we were about 15 years old. We first got together with a couple of guitars and started working on things. And then Dennis, we met in high school. So it's been almost as long. Joined in shortly after. By the time we were 17, probably we were out playing in clubs and different venues and parks and wherever anybody would take us. And then Darren, the drummer, is actually Ray's cousin.
Yeah, so we're cousins. So I've known him all my life.
So he actually has a little bit of an advantage on me. I didn't get to meet Ray until I was five. So so it's been a long run. Like I said, we started probably at 15. We've been primarily all the same guys all along that journey, and have just continued to enjoy, love playing music with each other.
It seems like your band is almost like your family, you know, a very tight-knit community that you guys were able to create. Were there any difficulties that you guys may have encountered as a band, since you guys are, you know, there are family members that are inside your guys' band, you guys known each other for a very long time. Was there any obstacles that you guys continue to maybe face while you guys write music and perform around the world?
At one point we did, you know, take a hiatus, raising families, jobs came into play. And then, so we did take a little time off. And, just one day Pat and I got together again and just said, you know, we just started jamming. It's like, ooh, you know, this feels good. And then, it's like, hey, you know, and then Darren came over. It was, you know, I think we were jamming for a few weeks. We got Darren back in. And it's like, you know what? Let's get one of those, the old saying, let's get the band back together. So, and we did, but we actually had no, we are a family. We definitely have difficult disagreements. We definitely argue.
Not much.
No,
especially when it comes to the music and on stage. I mean, it's, you know, we kind of joke that we share a common brain, and
we put it up with each other pretty well, I think.
Yeah, probably better than most families, I would think.
That sounds great. And moving on to the 2023 year, which was not long ago, around two and a half weeks maybe. How was that year for you guys? Was it a year where you guys were active? COVID actually was, I think it was 2 years ago where it actually kind of began coming back to normal. Was there any impact last year through COVID maybe, or how was that like for you guys?
Yeah. Go ahead. It seemed like, with 2023, we got back out more plain, like you say, the 2021, it was just harder because, like say, there was no place to play. So we were doing more, just writing, doing some online stuff. And so like when we did our live album was in between the COVID time, and that's, we went into the studio, just did a full blown live, live CD. And 2023 was, we played some pretty cool shows. We've been some traveling to Toronto, Chicago. The year previous to that, we were in Liverpool, and we're heading back there this year. So I mean, it's getting it's nice to see the scenes all around the country getting back to a more vibrant place to play.
Yeah, exactly. You mentioned COVID, and it definitely has hit. I mean, you can really see a lot of the places and the venues don't stay open as late. The crowds are just getting to come back. I would say 2023 was close to what you might have called normal in comparison. But you can see still the impact that's been out there for years. That really slowed down, and not that it was all bad, because it did give us opportunities to do more online virtual types of things. Introduced us to just different methods, and it's like many other businesses and many other things, it's likely to be the wave of the future to be more virtual. So it kind of taught us to and made us, forced us to be flexible in that way.
It's amazing. I also want to touch upon your guys' writing process, lyrics, and the melody portion of it. Every band has their own unique way of approaching this and making music. Let's begin with the lyrics. Is there a certain person in your band that kind of comes up with a foundation of the lyrics, or do you guys all come together and work on it as a unit? Or is it something that you guys individually come up with, let's say in like the shower or while you're playing together or just in regular daily lives, and then come back together and share ideas? How is that process like for you guys?
You're close. We do it as a group in the shower.
But we got electrocuted a few times.
Stop bringing the guitars in.
No, I'll come up, I'll write a song, come up with some lyrics with, a tune, and I'll bring it to the guys. And then, I'll show, hey, I came up with this, and they're like, oh, okay. And they modify it, and they always make it better. They come up with stuff like, oh, I didn't think of that. That's great. It is the writing process is definitely a group effort. Darren, our drummer, Pat, and I, we all take parts in doing lead vocals. So, I mean, we're kind of like the monkeys in that aspect, where we're all taking a part of doing the songwriting. And then, Pat, same thing. Pat will come up with an idea, and we all just kind of like get together and gel and see where it comes.
Yeah, it's surprising actually that, especially it seems like a lot lately, how Darren, our drummer, has a lot of impact on my guitar playing. It's like, oh, you got to do this, or I'll do something, especially in the recording studio. We do what we call rough tracks, usually going through the first time. And quite often I don't really know what I'm going to be playing on a final, run of the song, or where it might be something we just recently wrote and are learning. And yeah, Darren is notorious for making me keep a rough track just because it's so raw and without all that thought process behind it and some of that type of stuff. But and then it's always different for me. A lot of times, some of the best ones, you sit down in 20 minutes and the whole song comes together. And then we get together in another 20 minutes and all of us have it together. And then there's songs that just, it's an idea and you get something, and there's probably several songs I know of mine that, they don't know what I'm going to sing until I do it for the first time in the studio. So I'm writing lyrics the day before we've got to go in and do the vocal tracks.
And for the melody portion of it, is that also a group work that you guys contribute on, or like I think it was Ray who said that he brings over the work and then you guys go over together and then create something out of that.
Well, generally, if I'm bringing the lyrics, I do have something to back it up with, chord wise and melody. Like I said, we definitely, from the time I bring it over to the time we're finished, it's not necessarily the same song. I mean, it's modified definitely with all the input of Darren and Pat, it's something that, if I say, it's definitely a group effort when we write songs,
One thing we've kind of noticed with ourselves is that, if Ray will come over and he'll have a song and it's got like a really dark lyric to it or something. It's like, man, I don't know what's going through your head when you wrote this, but we kind of go out of our way to give it a really bouncy melody. It's just to counteract that. Hmm. And then vice versa. If he comes over with, really happy, boy meets girl lyrics, I make sure I put a lot of minor chords in it and darken it up. So it's, we just try to balance it all out.
Amazing.
Counter-write sometimes.
And I'm sure you guys have definitely been in this business for a very, very long time. Probably have done hundreds of performances. Throughout your performances, did you guys realize maybe a pattern, maybe a sense of interest that the audience members express through certain types of music, certain types of melodies, maybe some lyrics or just areas or topics that you guys maybe would have picked up through your performances?
Well, I know generally our performances, we don't do any slow songs. So you'll notice that if anyone sees us live, it's like everything is pretty much upbeat. It seems like the audience likes that too. We've taken some covers that, it's like, here's a slow song. Well, we're not playing it slow. We speed it up, about, 10 times the normal speed. And it seems like people can tell. And when we're on stage, we're having fun. We're showing people, we're definitely enjoying what we're doing. And I think a lot of people pick up on that.
Yeah. The music and the writing, you never quite know when you write something. We try not to go and plan something out too much to say, oh, this one's going to be a radio hit or this, the dancers are going to love this hook. That's not really what we're trying to do. But we probably do, especially up on stage and add that, we have different things where we'll decide on a certain spot. We'll do a breakdown of something or kind of tear a song apart right in the middle of it or make changes or do things that tend to get reactions. But like I said, we try not to make it planned. And part of that is sharing that common brain again, that if Ray decides to go off in a tangent on stage, we all know just how to follow him.
Yeah. I usually make a set list up. But there's times, every time, be like, we got a certain set list, but it's like, hey, let's do this song here. Something we didn't practice, someone just mentioned, hey, can you do, this and, and it's like, oh, what the heck, it's live. It's supposed to be, spontaneous. That's the fun part.
And moving back to the lyrics, let me start off with, do you guys have any songs that contain a deeper meaning than it does when you hear it just out of the blue?
Mm-hmm. Yes and no. So there's I tend to, always kind of have the double, if not triple entendre and little, it sounds like this. For example, we've got a song in this album called Back into Eloise, which could be taken, as a very personal situation that, who is this Eloise? Eloise is actually a local, now pretty much defunct, still part of its standing, used as a haunted house. But in our lifetime, it's a nearby local insane asylum. It'd be used for many different things, but it was called Eloise, named after the director's daughter, 120 years ago. So when we were younger in our groups, and the place was a little dilapidated, and we used to sort of break into the grounds and take photos and pictures of band pictures there and such. And so the songs kind of a little bit about, it's kind of written as if Eloise is a girl, but it's really kind of about Eloise, the building, and then it's kind of from the perspective of, I'm needing to get back into the asylum. So it's kind of got triple meanings. But at the same time, we've got songs that we, you know, we challenge you to find any meaning to, let alone a hidden one. We tend to sometimes just write some silly, goofy things that somebody will come over and, you know, and just pick up a line or look at something as we sit there jamming together, and it turns into a song. There's a song on the album called Soda Pop, which is in general, you know, people have already asked us, you know, about the deeper meanings, and, you know, is this about diversity? And it's like, well, I guess you could say that, but it's pretty much just like it sounds, about the different regions and what you might call.
Yeah, Darren used to do a lot of traveling, and he would, you know, go to, you know, different, you know, states, and he'll ask, hey, give me a soda. And they're like, you mean pop? And they're like, you know, and then vice versa, hey, give me a pop, you mean soda? So it's like he was one day he was just talking about that at practice, and while Pat was away taking a break, you know, Darren and I came up with this little riff, and then we came up with a soda pop song, and Pat said, are we really going to record this? And then we ended up doing it, and it ended up turning a pretty cool song.
And in general, I guess, too, is, you know, while we all have, you know, opinions and the band and political views and beliefs and different things, you know, that's not how we take what we do. We're having fun. It's rock and roll. We enjoy ourselves. It's our escape is the music and on the radio. And that's what we want you to do when you listen to us. We realize sometimes as an artist or whatever that gives you the opportunity, and some might even say the obligation, to use that as a platform to speak your mind. But
we do have a few songs.
We probably do some. Yes, yeah. We have done a song called Stop the World that we, you know, contributed the funds that came from that to the Ukraine relief situation and others that we do. I mean, we're not totally oblivious to some of it. We do play a lot of different benefits and things where we can. But in general, musically, you see us, you'll know we're not there to really create a message other than enjoy yourself.
Interesting. I like to ask this question because obviously not all the audience members get a chance to, or get the honor actually, to talk to these artists and talk to these musicians about their artwork. And I think there's a lot of hidden meaning sometimes in certain artworks and certain songs that the audience members just don't get a chance to listen about. And so when I ask these questions, I love to hear about, you know, the meaning of songs, the intentions behind the writing process and the artwork. And then when you go back and listen and you view the artwork again, it just comes, it approaches you in a different sense, both emotionally and just, you know, in a different manner. Go ahead.
No, I said well put.
Yeah, well put.
And,
you know,
and
yeah.
You made me think, too, that the next time I answer, I'll give it a different one. always keep you looking at it at a different perspective.
You know, but I totally agree. I think, you know, musicians are people who, you know, give you joy, give you a chance to step out of your own world and just enjoy the presence, the moment of expressing art and listening to music. And kind of connecting this to the songs, were there any funny episodes maybe or memorable moments that took place in writing a certain song or working on a certain album? I'm sure you guys have a couple stories here and there.
Oh, yeah. Well, especially... we'll get back to Soda Pop. You know, Pat does a backup line in it where it pretty much at the, you know, he just about passes out, you know, singing it because it's really high and it's just continuously for like, you know, two or three, you know, verses, you know, that he's singing this part. And every time and I have a tendency, you know, every time we play it, and watching him sing it, I just has to start laughing. Because I know he's like, because one day I'm just going to go one more time, you know, and then I know he's just going to pass out on stage, you know. It's like, so we got to be careful of what we, you know, what we come up with, what we do, because like, say, you know, general sake, you're keeping that, you know.
Right.
Interesting. Yep, go ahead.
No, I just trying to think of other examples. I'm sure there's a lot of it. I'm sure there's times in the studio that, you know, as we record, that things that are, just get goofy, or things that, you know, if you listen, put headphones on and listen to it, some of it, you'll hear things like, you know, Ray saying, "Oops, I missed that one," or something. I think it's like we're doing harmonies and.
Yeah, it's like, let's keep it, you know. I mean, you know, keep the little flubs and stuff, because it's like shows, you know. I mean, it's you know, to us, it's, you know, it's rock and roll. It doesn't have to be perfect, you know. I mean, it shows that we're, you know, human and having a good time. Hey, man, I screwed up the lyric. We're keeping that in the song.
I think that kind of adds a sense of originality to your pieces. You know, even those mistakes, it kind of resembles who you are, or signifies, you know, your own art piece, like who you guys are as a person. And moving on, actually, as a band, or even a person like me who is looking outside, going on tours just seem like such a fun experience, you know, just to take place in. How are you guys with tours last year, or maybe any schedule this year?
Last year, I mean, we've had a great time. You know, it's just, every time we, you know, play a new place, it's exciting. It's like, you know, and plus it gives us the chance to, you know, see different people, meet different people that, you know, it's great to do it on, you know, online, or they listen to our music on the radio, but to, you know, connect with the people live is just a totally different feeling. And I mean, we have a great time. I don't think we've had a bad time touring yet. You know?
No, I mean, there's always instances that, you know, Ray mentioned a couple of years ago that we went to Liverpool and actually played at the Cavern Club, the big name of where the Beatles sort of started. And it was rather surreal and crazy. And we spent the better part of a week doing all the touristy types of things. And, you know, you think about now, it was just amazing. We had a blast, just a total blast. But, you know, at the same time, you know, we went to check into one place and they didn't have our reservation. So we were wandering around the city trying to find some place to stay. And meantime, we're carrying all of our equipment through the city, trying to find a hotel. And nobody's phone service worked. I think I was down to like 2% on my phone. So it's, you come back with the good memories.
That was when you couldn't fly with COVID. And,
well, that's right.
Yeah, we ended up, you know, like getting ready to come back, you know, the day before our flight, you know, was supposed to leave England. It's like, you know, Pat was sick. I'm going, oh, God, he's going to get stuck in, you know, in England. And we all do our COVID test. And everyone's coming back. Hey, I'm negative. If I get mine, I'm positive. It's like,
So we ended up stuck there for an extra 3 days while we all came home.
I was like in my hotel room. I had no phone service, so I was calling my daughter. Hey, send me an Uber. You know, send me an Uber to this place here. Because I was like, you know, but experiences like that just make for, you know, I mean, great memories.
Oh, and some of the friends that we picked up along the way too. I mean that visit again to England that we played three shows there in Liverpool, and. You know, we had luckily we knew some people and they loaned us some instruments while we were there so that we didn't have to haul all of our equipment. And at the end of the tour there, getting ready to head home, and the guy that loaned Ray a bass told him, well, just go ahead and keep it. You can have it.
Yeah, he said, I'll ship it to you. You just pay for the shipping. I mean, it was a
Rickenbacker copied a beautiful bass. It played really well, and now he's got it on. And then another guy built me a custom Telecaster guitar. It's still sitting over there waiting for me to come get it. So we're looking to head back over in May this year, and hopefully I come back with a brand new guitar.
And that's the experiences right there. Just meeting, you know, the people that we meet, the different DJs, the different, you know, radio personnel that we, you know, the friendships, you know, it's kind of like people that we just knew from playing our music. Now that we've met them in person, it's kind of, you know, hopefully they're going to
like
that.
And the different cities and the atmospheres and the clubs, you never know in many cases what you're walking into. You know, we just recently, one of the more recent shows where we traveled, we played up in Toronto, and we played at a,
burlesque
type of bar, we had as we're playing in one corner, there's, you know, women walking on the bar in the other corner, And you never know what you might be walking into someday.
I was actually in Toronto last summer, and I personally love Toronto. I think I'm definitely going to think about spending some time there, maybe after I finish up here. I want to actually move into the equipment, because I think that's also a very interesting thing. Do you guys, as a group, kind of sometimes go to shops and search for certain equipments that you guys are looking for, certain guitars or instruments or even sound equipments? Or is that more of an individual task and you guys kind of just figure that out?
In general, I think for if it comes down to the, you know, me playing a guitar or playing a bass, that's definitely an individual situation. Where we are playing in town and we need a PA system and all of that, we do that more of a, as a group and discuss. And it's probably mostly Ray and I that look at that and different speaker setups and that, and for the big long haul in town. But for traveling purposes, it's, you know, Ray's Ray's got, I don't know how many basses you up to these days.
I think I'm up to, I got too many basses. I think I'm up to 13 or 14 basses. I buy one, I can't get rid of it. It's like, I did that once. I had a Hohner Beetle bass copy, and I sold it, and I felt so bad after I sold it. It's like, well, I'm never doing that again. So I think I've owned, you know, every bass I ever owned, I still have, except that one.
So now the difference is where I, you know, try to kind of keep, and I don't often enough because I break a lot of strings, but try to keep a backup guitar with me. The main guitar that I play is my primary guitar. I bought it in 1990, and I've played it ever since.
I'm sure those instruments kind of carry all those memories, and even if you guys were ever to finish up or maybe take a break from music, that's kind of something that can, you know, get you reminded, and just it's a good thing to kind of have, and I think a lot of musicians do that.
Absolutely. I mean, on my guitar, it's got scratches and dings and dents in it, and I can pretty much tell you where every one of them came from, and some dents that I put into it and some dents that it put into me.
I want to move into the band itself. There are a lot of people actually that have bands or even are willing to start one. How old were you guys when you guys kind of formed it officially?
Well, like I said, we started playing at 15 together. Probably even older than that. So I would say we started playing out in clubs as some other oddball names and trying to find our identity at as young as 17. We probably were in 20 to early 20s, I think, before we officially became the Incurables. You know, and we're trying not to give too much away other than I said I bought my guitar in 1990. give you an idea of how long this has been going on. As far as for others, I mean, first of all, there's so much good talent out there. I mean, we love it, and things have changed so much with, you know, the internet and the ability to have and some streaming these stations like yours and finding all of these different artists and ourselves to be, you know, played and the ability to travel the world and have our music played all over the world is just insane. So, but what we're finding is so much good talent out there, and it keeps us on our toes. So I don't know if you're looking for us to give advice to young people or anybody else.
Oh yes, for sure. Is there anything that you guys want to share to any prospective musicians out there?
I mean, like say we want you to take us seriously, but we don't take ourselves that seriously. We want you to, you got to realize you got to have fun. If you're not having fun, then you know it's not worth doing. And, you know, and there's going to be, you know, you're going to have good shows. You're going to have bad shows. You're going to have great shows. And we've
had all of those.
we strive for the, you know, the great shows, but you know, I mean, you just got to go out there and have a good time.
Right. And I mean, if I could say anything with that too, it's do it with people you enjoy spending time with.
Yes.
So it's, especially as we got, you know, back together again and ever since, you know, we really are finding ourselves just cherishing every minute that we have together. And that's part of what makes the touring. I mean, touring can really be not much fun. You're spending money, you're driving, you're on the road, you're, you know, either sleeping in a car or some, you know, you're not usually spending a lot of money because you don't, you know, you don't want to walk away with a loss too often. So it could be miserable. Other than I just can't not have fun with these guys. And the fact that other people are enjoying our music and the fact that we can go to these places and play, and I mean, it's an honor. And it's just such a bonus. I mean, we'd be perfectly happy just playing music, sitting in Ray's basement, but don't tell anybody that.
But to get to do it, if, you know, like I said, for an audience, you know, and it doesn't have to be an audience of thousands. It could be an audience of, you know, like 5, 10, 100, you know, if they appreciate what you're doing, then it means that much to us. You know, it's like, you know, we played anywhere from like, say, 5 people to like 5,000 people, you know, I mean, we and everything in between. And like I said, long, you know, in past that, like, you know, well, it's like, you know, these are people I love playing with, you know, I wouldn't have it any other way. That's probably why we haven't joined any other bands. I mean, if you think about it, you hear a lot of musicians, you know, they're in 5 bands or in 6 bands. They play with these people. They play with these people. It's like, these are the people I've played with all my life. You know, it's like, these are my lifelong friends. And I'm just having a blast doing it.
It's kind of like the saying, you know, find a job that you love to do and you never work a day in your life. I mean, that's where we're at. And that's the advice I can give to people. Now, people do it for other reasons, you know. Some people have to do it, and they do it for a living, and they're playing in bands. We've seen plenty of bands that play and look like they're just miserable the whole time. But I've probably said it too many times in too many ways. But the best advice I could give you, play music you enjoy playing with people you enjoy playing with.
I think one of the most valuable thing that you can gain from not only a band, but just in anything, is just the relationships and the people you get to meet. And I think that if without that, it's really nothing, you know, nothing's really that meaningful unless you kind of get the chance to take the risk and meet a lot of people, express your art, share it, listen to other people's. And as a last question for this interview, do you guys want to give maybe a rundown of what you guys are expecting this year? Maybe some things that you guys are planning out. I know that the new album is going to come out in 4 days, so I'm very excited to hear that. I hope that everyone gets a chance as well. But yeah, you know, anything else for you guys?
Well, we're planning on doing some more recording. We already started writing some new songs, even though we still got to be promoting these ones here. And we're going to be trying to find as many gigs as we can to play. You know, these mini tours we're going to go on. And hopefully hook up with some, you know, national acts would be a goal of ours, you know, to do some touring, you know, around this, you know, the country and, you know, wherever it takes us.
Yeah, every day is that sounds so old. Every day is a bucket list. We're just looking for that additional thrill, that little something that we can do. I think Ray's hoping the album takes off. He wants to marry a supermodel later this year.
Or supermodel's mom. I'll take that.
We do have several shows. I mean, the album is the big thing. It's been a while. Like I said, we've been working, and we really want to push. Shout out again to Big Stir Records. That has just been fantastic. The people there are really helping to push
Rex
this.
And Christine has done an awesome job. You know, we thank you so much. Yeah.
And there's just so many new contacts, so many people. It's hard to even keep up with. It's all coming so fast. So we want to continue to push and work that album, get as many people as we can to hear this, and have conversations with people like you, Jeff, that we could, you know, get on and enjoy. It's really helping us. We're really enjoying meeting people from different areas and having these conversations. And all these different musicians around the world. I mean, everything's just been a joy. And then, like Ray mentioned, he's already, you know, that's part of why I mentioned Ray's the primary writer. Every time we get together, he's got 8 new songs that we've got to try and figure out and work out and filter out. And then a lot more touring. Like I said, we're looking at we're going to do a big record release in town here next month in February. And then we're looking to March. We're going to hit probably against South Carolina, Indiana. Areas with some
Midwest
U.S. tour, and that takes us April, we're back in Chicago for a festival there, and then May we're looking to go back to England. So that's we're just trying to get through all of the first half of the year. We haven't really mapped out the second half, but it's we're looking to. To hit it running as much as possible, and just keep the ball rolling.
Amazing! Once again, everyone, the new album "Inside Out and Backwards" will be released on January 19th. They were the Incurables. Please go check them out. And before I let you guys go, is there any songs that you guys would like me to play?
Do you have everything from the new album there?
I do have a couple. Okay. It seems that...
There's probably one that just got released last Friday. Is called Someday. That's our most recent release, if you have that.
That was Someday. When I Grow Up. And both of these actually have videos out for it.
And we also have, if you'd like, When I Grow Up is one of ours, too.
Yes.
So if you'd like to do that, that was released in December. In preparation for the album, and we've got a few of them. So yeah, if you want to kick it off with When I Grow Up, that's kind of a bit of a theme or a theme song for us. Yes. It's a little bit more of a punk growly kind of tune that just kind of describes us refusing to grow up.
Awesome. I'll make sure to turn that on. Thank you guys again so much for coming on to the interview, and I hope you guys have a wonderful rest of the day.
Thank you, Jeff.
Great talking to you.
Hi to everybody in Vancouver for us.
Awesome. Bye-bye, guys.
Bye.
All right, everyone. They were The Incurables. Once again, please go on and tune in their music. The new album, Inside Out and Backwards, will be released on January 19th. Before I let you guys all go, here is When I Grow Up by The Incurables, one of the new songs in their album. Here we go.
Making love, and I
And that was When I Grow Up by The Incurables. Once again, their album Inside Out and Backwards will be out on January 19th. Please go check it out, everyone. My name is Jeff, and this is all for today's episode. I hope you all have a wonderful rest of the day. Bye-bye, everyone.